Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church of Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Welcome to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name is John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas, and we are so pleased to be able to share the Word of God with you this morning. But before we get into what I really want to talk about that came about as a result of a text message this week, I want to lay down some groundwork, first of all, and some of these things may be things that you know very well. Some may be things that you've kind of heard before and you're being reminded of again. Some of you may be hearing it for the first time. But I want you to know that the very first words of the Bible set forth all of creation in one sentence. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, it's so amazing that the Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures, would start off with such a powerful sentence, because if you think about it, every part of what science understands as our physical universe is a part of that verse. In the beginning, time, God, force, created, energy, the heavens, space, and the earth, matter. Isn't that awesome? And so when we think about those things and realize that creation itself demands a designer. Now, I know that evolution teaches that all of these things, you know, evolved over millions and billions and however many years they want to say, but ultimately you just keep going back and you just keep going back. Well, where did that come from? Where did that come from? And ultimately it has to go that matter in and of itself is eternal, which still begs the question, well, where did it come from? Or God is the creator. And you say, well, where did God come from? Well, God didn't come from anywhere. God is eternal. And the Word of God tells us that. And somebody says, well, how do you make that choice? It's like, well, I would far more choose to put my faith in a omniscient, omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing, loving, caring, gracious Heavenly Father than just the fact that we evolved from a fish. Okay, so in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, what's interesting is that John 1, in the Gospel of John 1, and verse 1 says, in the beginning, so starts off just like Genesis 1, in the beginning, but it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, one of the things about reading the Bible is that it doesn't explain everything to you, because it wasn't written to you. It was written to the people way back when it was written. And the Bible is an amazing collection of writings, because these collection of writings from Genesis to Revelation was written over a period of between 1500 and 1600 years, 40 different authors, different languages. And so all of those writings point to and are a part of the whole, which tells us about this God. Now, that first sentence just assumes that the people that are being written to know that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And so it immediately starts making you ask questions. And that's good, because when you start asking questions, it means you're looking for answers. You'd like to know. You'd like to say, okay, hey, so In the beginning. What beginning? Well, in the beginning. In the beginning of the creation. The beginning of everything as we understand it and know it. In the beginning was the Word. Well, who's the Word? Or you could go back to Genesis and say, in the beginning, God. Well, who's God? Well, it doesn't tell you. It just assumes you know, but then it's our privilege to search out the Scriptures and find out who this God is that created the heavens and the earth. And you will find out about Him. And it's our privilege to be able to seek out and ask questions and find out about the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then, of course, if you drop down a little bit in John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so, well, who's this Word? He certainly seems interesting. And of course, the more you read the Gospel of John, the whole point of John is to present this Word to you. Okay, the Word of God, not the written Word of God in this case, but the Word of God is Jesus. Okay, He wasn't Jesus in the beginning, He was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, or the Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was a part of what it means to be God. And somebody says, well, what's that? It's like what the Bible tells us about God. Because how would we know? We're not eternal beings. We have no reference point. We take what the Scriptures teach us and tell us about God and believe that those things are true and accurate because all the other things in there are true and accurate, at least as far as they have been proved. And so this Word was that became flesh, the Word that became flesh is Jesus. And so, but before He was Jesus, He was part of the creation. Look at verse 3 of John 1. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So here is the Word of God teaching us about how Jesus was a part of the creation. Colossians chapter 1. Here's another verse of Scripture. And this is amazing, and it always amazes me how the Scripture ties in together with each other. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, the Word of God says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. And so this is talking about Jesus, the Son that God loves, there in verse 13. For He, God, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And that someone, that Son, who we understand as Jesus, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now, that does not mean that Jesus was the first created being. No, Jesus was the preeminent one in creation. He was the one that caused the creation to come into existence. It was the Word. And it's interesting that back in Genesis, when you look back in Genesis 1, what does it say? Then God said, then God said, then God said. So in the mind of God, this is what it was. God said this, the Word through the power of God created these things. And that's why it says in verse 16 of Colossians 1, for by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, whether visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. So, you know, what's this visible and invisible? Well, all of the physical universe that we see, the earth, the animals, the birds, the sky, the stars, the universe, all of those things. But then the invisible creation, well, what's that? Well, that would be the angels, and that would be things that we can't see. There's also that part of creation. And yet Jesus is Lord of all of those things, or he is Lord now. In the beginning, he was the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And because of his death on the cross, because of his willingness to die on the cross for our sins, because he loved us so much, God allowed him to do that. He paid the penalty for our sins. He tasted death. He experienced death for those 3 days. He was raised from the dead by the power of God to live forevermore. And this is why God has exalted Jesus. He has exalted him. He's given him the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on earth should bow and acknowledge him as Lord. And so Jesus was the one, as the Word, that was a part of the creation. Now, remember in Colossians it says that he's the image of the invisible God? Well, Hebrews defines that a little more clearly even. Hebrews, and the very first chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways." So, in other words, this is a letter to the Hebrews, the Jews, the Jewish people. And so the writer here is saying, hey, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through Moses, through the different prophets at many times and in various ways over that whole existence of Israel under the first covenant. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. Okay, who is that? Well, in the beginning, it was the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. And now Jesus has become the firstborn of the new creation from the dead. That's why it says he's the firstborn from among the dead. He was the first to rise from the dead, never to die again. And so this Son has been appointed king. God has placed him on the throne of this spiritual kingdom that we call the church. And so in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. So here's the man, Christ Jesus, who was previously the Word who became flesh, and now he's been raised to be above all men, above all angels, because he's the Son of God. And so this is just amazing, awesome, incredible stuff. If you don't understand it all or get it, that's okay. Sometimes we need to just be boggled by things that we don't understand to get us to realize how much more there is for us to understand. And so let's go to another verse and look at this. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. You see, God is our creator and God loves us, but God is also angry at sin and the troubles and problems that sin causes in our lives, how it ruins our relationship with him and with each other. And so in verse 18 of Romans 1, it says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." Clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. In other words, again, creation, design demands a designer. All of the different kinds of plants and animals and stars and everything that we see, that's amazing in its complexity and its simplicity. And God is the one that spoke all of those things into existence, and they came into being through the Word, who later became the Lord Jesus Christ, who now is the Lord and Savior of the church, those who will respond to God's grace, who will trust in his sacrifice, who will willingly say, I will follow Jesus, who repent of their apathy and their lack of care and concern for God and say, hey, I want to follow Christ. And then who are baptized into Christ to say, hey, I want my sins forgiven. I want the gift of God's Spirit. I want to become a part of that new creation. And so God's invisible qualities, his eternal and power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Now, men may be able to claim it, but come on, you don't have to go outside and look up at the stars very long to be in awe, do you? To just look up there. Now, here in Las Vegas, maybe not so easy to see, but I'll tell you, the stars are amazing. When you get out somewhere where you can see the stars, in fact, Psalm 19, David understood that. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. I love that verse because I love to look up at the stars. I love to look at the moon. I love to look at the different planets when we can see them with our naked eye. And just, you know, all the things even past that that we can see, the images that the Hubble telescope has captured of things that are billions and billions of light years away. We can't even understand that. And yet, in the beginning, God created all of those things and brought those things into existence for a purpose. And I'll tell you, one of the purposes of those things is Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. And so here's the thing about it. Why do I say all that? Well, I want you to know all that, but it's not just mere knowledge. It's in understanding that, what will you do with it? If you're listening this morning and you already are in a fellowship with God, you're in a right relationship with him, and you acknowledge him and you honor him and you pray to him and you love him in return for all the good that he has done in your life, and you're thankful that he's your Savior, you and I need to just keep right on serving the Lord. We need to just keep right on growing in grace and knowledge, because that's what honors God. That's what's pleasing to God. We don't conform to the world anymore. We put off all of that and say, no, I'm going to follow Christ. And so that's our call. To those of you that are looking and seeking and you're not sure, you haven't made up your mind yet, well, this is a call to say, hey, look into it. Don't wait any longer. Start asking more. Start asking specific. Start asking probing questions about God and the Scripture. And don't just settle for old pat answers that people that don't think that the Bible is the Word of God just throw out. Okay? The first person to present his case always seems right until another steps forward to question him. I don't even want you to take my word for it this morning. I want you to listen to what I have to say, and then I want you to go search these things out for yourself. I believe them, lock, stock, and barrel. I put my total faith and trust in the words of God because I believe it's true and right and real, and I believe the God who is behind these words loves me and cares about me and has saved my soul. But that doesn't mean anything to you. If you don't know that, you have to search. You have to make that decision on your own. There's plenty of evidence. There's plenty of reasons for you to do it. But ultimately, it comes down to this. You have to choose to follow Jesus. And then if you're there this morning, maybe you've been there and done that. Maybe you've turned away from God. Maybe you're angry or bitter, or you're blaming him for something, or something didn't work out right, or you lost a loved one, or financially you've been ruined, or whatever the case may be. Satan pulls all kinds of tricks and schemes and traps to try to get people to turn away from the Lord Jesus, because he knows there's nothing he can do personally to snatch people out of Jesus' hands. All the devil and all the demons of hell can't do that. Okay? The only one that can do that is us, if we choose to, by faith, quit believing and say, hey, I'm walking away. I'm not going to walk by faith anymore. I choose to stop believing. Then we're cutting ourselves off, which is a pretty dumb move and not real smart. God doesn't want you to be in that place. He wants you to come back and know that if it was a person that hurt you, well, that's hard. I've been hurt and by people too, but God is there to bless us, and God is only good for us. We can absolutely trust and depend on the Lord our God. And so let's think about that as we listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by John Elefante, who used to be one of the singers for Kansas. I think he was the lead singer. But he did some Christian music quite a while back, and this is one of the songs that they came up with, and it's called That's Why God Made the Moon. And so let's think about how great and awesome our God is in the creation as we listen to, again, John Elefante sing That's Why God Made the Moon. Let's listen.
My whole world has been made new. I want to live my life for you. And every star up in the sky has driven me to testify that I want to know you. That's why God made the moon. For nights like these when we dream of all.
All right, we're back this morning. Hope you enjoyed that song. We're going to take a little different course than what I started off at the very beginning. We're not going to have time to talk about that text question. We'll deal with that next week. How about that? So come back next week and I'll tell you what the question was and we'll answer that from the Bible. But before we end today, since we've been talking about the creation, let's go back to Genesis and be reminded that God is the one that said, "Let there be light." And then he said, "Let there be an expanse between waters to separate water from water." And so he created the sky. So there was the earth below and the sky above and the water canopy. And then in verse 9, it says, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear." And so God brought the land up and the seas were separated under one place. And he said, "Let the land produce vegetation." And so that third day that the land rose and the seas were in their place and the vegetation was created. And then verse 14, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years." And so God created the sun and the moon and the stars and all of those things. And we see them in our sky, you know, in our atmosphere to the degree we do. But of course, we know that there is outer space outside of the atmosphere of our earth that all of these stars and the rest of the universe are a part of. And then in verse 20 of Genesis 1, God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth and across the expanse of the sky." And so God created the birds and all kinds of aerial creatures. And God created the fish and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. And God blessed them and wanted them to increase and multiply. And then in verse 24, God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds." And so, you know, all of the other animals that are part of the land animals and insects and reptiles and all the other things that live on the land. And so that was important. That's actually where our question next week is going to go. So I'll give you a little preview. But verse 26, though, is most important here. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so I want you to know that this whole vast creation that God created, ultimately the crowning part of that was humanity. And God loves us just that much. And we want to just keep telling the story of the creation and of Christ, the Savior, who came to save us from our sin and how that creation is going to be renewed one day. And so thanks for listening this morning. I really appreciate you listening. We're the church at Las Vegas, and we meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. We'd love to see you Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, or Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We have a midweek Bible study and prayer time. Love to get to know you and answer your questions if you have them, or just come and join us as we worship God together. You can also find us online at thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com, and there you can ask questions and find out more about us online, listen to old radio broadcasts and different sermons and things. We're so glad that we can be a part of the community here in Las Vegas. And we want to let the whole world know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Keep standing on that solid rock. God bless you.